Thank you this morning, our that despite everything that could happen into our lives, the turbulences, the interruptions of power, Lord, the load shedding, the traffics, Lord, in all this, Father, we know that you are still God. You're watching over us. When the storms of life will come, when our bodies fail, when, Lord, the stresses of life and trouble comes our way, threatens our hearts and brings fear to us, may we be reminded that we need to be still and know that you're still God. Because that's exactly what the enemy would want us to be, Lord. Stressed out, fearful, anxious, so that we would not concentrate on your word. So that, Lord, that we could look to other things. And, Lord, that we would forget where our blessings are. But we are grateful that you could remind us, Lord, of your goodness and your grace upon our hearts. And Lord, we ask of you today for the faithfulness of your children, that you would just bless them. Lord, for the prayers, the tidings, and the presence, and the support and the gift to the ministry. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you could bring to us today. The ministry that could enlighten our hearts. A ministry that could help us, O Father, so that we could find the pathway to the true light. We remember those that are unwell in the bodies today. We pray that you'll be mindful of them. Also, we pray for Basil, Lord, that you'd give him grace and strength. Our dear brother, Lord, undertake for him. And Lord, the many that are unwell in the bodies, we also commit to Timothy, who it was his birthday this week, that you'd just bless him. Lord, those that are also celebrating their birthdays, Lord, and we ask you to be gracious to bless them as well. Even as we would continue this morning, our strengthen our hearts and minister to our lives. Thank you for the ministering brothers. We remember Brother Henry, out, Lord, ministering the word today, that you would give him grace, and the believers as well. Thank you for the ministering brothers, the fivefold ministry, the technical music team, Lord, the ushers, the deacons, trustees as well. Lord, remember your servant behind this pulpit as well, that in everything, Lord, that you will be honored and glorified. Bless us now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats this morning. Going to be back in the house of the Lord. Okay, I do understand that we have power, interruptions of power. We have people anxious and stressed and what have you. That's the purpose of the enemy, to get you all knocked out so that you can forget about. If you can just put those blinds up because it's hurting my eye. Okay, close it. Okay, we all get stressed out and anxious. So I want to read to you, if our brothers can put it up before I take to the word today, I want to read a letter from our apostle so that you can get encouraged today. Okay, if you can sit closer to my office, sister. There's a seat right there if you're feeling a bit hot. Okay. So this is the greetings that I was supposed to read it in January, but then many of you was on holiday and... some of you were traveling, and so we said, no, let's try and wait until everybody is okay and everybody is back in church, but still some of us are still traveling. In fact, most on this side, most of the people are traveling on this side, and I keep wondering why. They must have got a traveling visa for the whole year. All right, let me read to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Okay, we read, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comforted of God. We, by God's grace, it's on Wednesday, says, let this new year's day be a year of time for assessment and self-evaluation, for the time of reflecting on our past and looking towards the future for each one of us. Let this new year be a time for assessment and self-evaluation. So the question is, have you spiritually grown? To do this, every one of us must ask ourselves some hard questions. Have you spiritually grown? Are you growing in the understanding and the revelation of the end-time message? Are you understanding the doctrines? Are these important questions relates to eternal? Are these important questions relate to eternal life? Do you understand the doctrine of Christ of this day. It's good coming to church, but do you understand what the preaching is? Our sisters can come in. Okay. Do you believe that the eyes of your understanding have been blessed over the last year? Do you believe that the minister and the ministry has been a blessing to you? Do you believe that? Do you believe it's God's gift to you? Are they necessary? Do you need them, or do you need them for the rapture? That's what we need to ask ourselves. You need to ask yourself, can I take a rapture without this message? Are they rare gifts, or are they plentiful, or are they self-called or God-called? So you'd find there are many gifts, but do you understand the gifts that God places? Is it God-called? If it's God-called, is it benefiting you? And if it's benefiting you, and you know it's rare, you can't find these gifts, do you respect and honor them for God and Christ? If you don't honor and respect the gifts, then you don't understand what God sent. You don't understand the rare gifts. Do you honor your spiritual father in the gospel? Do you honor the prophet? Do you understand? Do you honor the apostle? Do you honor your pastor? Are you a candidate? You need to ask yourself, are you a candidate? Okay? Are you a candidate? Because remember, for the promises and the blessings of God. Because if you're a candidate, then you need to understand what it means. Because you can only be a candidate. I told you, I found the secret to success. That's Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. The following are the many series that was covered at Eagle Faith, and some of them we have done as well. And he says, I personally give thanks and praise to our God for looking beyond my faults and iniquity, for giving me the grace to see and teach His precious life-giving words. The following are the list of series of messages that was preached in 2019. From birth to adoption, the mystery of marriage and friendship, looking at the unseen, preparing to move in the higher dimension, moving from mortal to immortality, the power of transformation, the law of the subconscious mind. So you'd find that we need to look at these subjects that in the years to come, months to come, we'll go over it as well. Let this new year be a time for reflecting on the past. Remember, I taught you life is made up of kaleidoscope of memories and emotions. Have you taken the time to invest in your family, in your spouse, in your children? Do you make time to spend with them and make memories? Do you have tokens to remember the past year, like photographs, the experiences, the laughter? What stories can you tell them about 2019 when you get old or the years go on? What can you tell them about 2019? Did you let it by or did you use it qualitatively? What memorial pillars have you built up of what God has done for you? What are some of the things that God has done for you that you can have memorial pillars? What victories has He given you? What prayers has He answered? Has He answered your prayers? I know for us, God has been very good to us. Okay, He's answered many of our prayers. He's given us very great victories. If you have done this, make sure you build memorial stones so that you remember the Lord always, so that we do not forget His mercies. That's why we have thanksgivings. That's why we stand up to testify. These are memorial stones. These are things that we want to remember God for what He has done. And if He has done great things, right? If He has done this, then make sure you build memorial stones so you remember the Lord always, so that we do not forget His mercies. We must reflect and remember the Lord so that we do not become ungrateful and unthankful. Remember that many a times that if you don't thank somebody for feeding you, you become ungrateful. It becomes common to you because you hear it on streaming, you hear it on the recording, you are in the church, you have access to it through the media. It becomes common to you. And what happens? Ungratefulness steps in. And then when the minister is preaching, you already know the thoughts, and so you skip it. You think of some other things because subtly ungratefulness gets in. You build up an attitude. I know too much. I've heard it before. I've read this quote. I know this quote. I can connect. it becomes ungratefulness, unthankfulness. What about your errors and fail and your mistakes? Did you learn from them? Did you pray for your enemies, knowing how important they are for your perfection? All your enemies that came up, all the mistakes that you made, did you learn from it? Has your thinking been affected for the new year? Has your subconscious mind become a focal point of your effort? Has your actions and reactions been affected? How do you respond to your enemies? Can you forget about those things? Are you starting the new year looking forward to the future? Or are you still remembering your hurts and your mistakes and your body ailments, and you're allowing the enemy to badger your mind, keep knocking you down so you become ungrateful? After we reflect of our past, have we gained a measure of wisdom and some maturity and experience? We must look forward to the mark of high calling. Look forward to the future, yeah, because it will bring a lot of mixed emotions. Yes, it's going to bring a lot of mixed emotions. It can be exciting. It can be hopeful, or it can be uncertain and disturbing. You might go to the doctors. You might get sick. Your children, your business, all these things can be uncertain, especially concerning the things that we need. Those are the things that we need. And in fulfilling our obligation to the mark of His high calling in Christ Jesus, by His grace He has made known the mystery of His will. So we, the elect, will know and therefore can strive to fulfill the hope of His calling in our lives. Remember, I taught you what the hope of His calling is that the part of the predestined mystery of His will only revealed at the end time. Because remember, God's will can only be called to be revealed to the elected bride. Right? And so it's important that we need to understand and to know our species, to know our gender, to know our role, to know our relationships and responsibilities and our purpose, so that we can be conformed to the image of His dear Son. If we don't understand who we are, our roles and our responsibilities, we're not going to fulfill, and we're not going to have a meaningful year. Looking forward to this new year, we can completely be sure about two things. We can be sure of change, and change is something that nobody likes. Human beings don't like change. We are uncomfortable with change. Neither we nor our world will be the same from now. Believing it will be a betterment in our lives, a greater transformation into His image, and a closer walk with God. For creation, creatures, change is one of the constants of life. Change will always have. But whatever change that will come to you in 2020, use it and look at it and accept it as God's way of transforming you to have a closer walk with Him. Is there a fire of affliction waiting us? You find that the new and the old enemies await us. God already has already for our dross to consume and our gold to be refined. Because remember that God uses these trials, He uses this affliction so that He can filter out those things. The question is, are you going through deep waters? If you are going through deep waters, possibly you are going through it. But how do you look at it? Do you look at it as something that is painful? You don't want to accept it in your life? Now that might be a honorable way to start teaching on the subject of encouragement. But God's way is past finding out. Here is what the prophet said. He says, speaking of tension, I was praying about this morning, what would it be if we didn't have tension? Think of it. Tension is a part of living. That's what we have. He says, that kind of encouraged me. I thought, if we had no tension, you'd be like a rag doll. You would have no feelings. You panic when somebody gets sick. You get excited when something goes wrong. Your blood pressure goes up. Your sugar levels begin to spike. Your heart begins to palpitate. What is it? It is tension. And you've got to learn that in life, you're always going to have tension. You're going to have these moments. And so it says tension is a part of living. That kind of, it says, encourage me. So there's nothing you could work on like husband and wife. Maybe if she wants to do something, husband wants to do something, wife wants to do something, okay. Brothers are taking a bit long at the back. Okay? And so you'd find that if there's tension and she wants to do something and so forth, remember that if you're trying to work things together, right? Because remember, as Christians, as husbands and wives, we don't want things to go in our life haywire. You've got to sit down, you've got to learn to talk about it. And you'd find that tension actually really brings you together. As husband and wife, when you learn to talk about it, when you pray about it, you bring it under blood, you tend to come closer together. Well, somebody tells you that, well, just think of that little wife that went under a lot of tension when you wasn't so good, or your husband was under some tension when you wasn't so good. And so you'd find that, you know, when you're going through stresses in life and anxiety, you get angry with your husband. Think of the good times when he was there for you. Think of the times when things were bad and he was there for you. Think of the time your wife was there for you when you were going through all the tensions in life. And when you think about this, then you find that all is forgiven. And then you find when you look at yourself, how you feel about him, you realize it's different, right? You have tension, that's true. You'll always have tension. Know this, that in understanding this, he begins to speak of a little bit of encouragement. And the word encouragement, he says, and he wants to share a little experience in his life and his journey. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble." That is what Paul is saying. He says that we if we're in trouble, there's a God of comfort. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Because the word comfort means to encourage, to strengthen, to exhort, to console, to comfort, to receive. That's what comfort means. Because that's what we are here for, to be here for each other, to be of encouragement. In the Message Influencer, we pray for encouragement that we, in the past hour of distress we are, and the world in that condition, we need your holy help, Lord. We pray that you'll encourage us by your word, that we might know how we would act just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when somebody goes to trouble, our job is there to encourage them. Our job is there to console them. Because one day, you would need encouragement. You would need a comfort. So it's important. It's good for us to ask God to encourage us through His Word. Because remember that it is only God's Word that can encourage you. It is good to pray for encouragement. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage my heart, encourage my soul, encourage my son, encourage my father, my mother, my brother. And to ask Him to send us encouragement. We certainly should. We all will need it at most of all the time. Because remember that the prophet was also praying. He was praying for the ministers, that God will encourage them. You know, because I told you the ministry can be a tough one. Because if the enemy can discourage the ministry and cause them to lose heart and cause them to lose the vigor for the message and the service, he knows he can have access to the flock. That's what it's all about. So let us encourage and pray for encouragement of our elders. There are many elders in our sister churches. They're going through tough times. Some of them have lost their jobs. Some have been through difficult times. You might know some of them. And that is why from time to time, we want to try and see where we can help them. So they are always under the attack from the powers of darkness. Not only the elders, but the fivefold, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the apostles, they are the ones that all the time that the enemy would want to try and get at. And in is your life worthy of the gospel? We read, bless all the ministers, brothers here. Many of them are visitors from other places. I pray you'll be with them there. Junie and Brother Ruddle and those precious men who are sister churches to this church here, standing and holding the gospel in the different parts of the city around about for this light, contending for it. Thank you for these men. Encourage them. And give them grace to stand the great trials and the things that comes upon the earth to prove all Christians. We ask tonight for another outpouring of thy presence upon us. We need thee, Lord. We constantly need, because we are here in the battlefield where the decisions has to be made. And we pray, Father, that you'll continuously encourage us with thy presence. It does so much to us to know that you are with us, to show yourself present, Lord, that encourage us to move on, heal the sick and afflicted. In Acts chapter 4, verse 22, we read, confirming the souls of the apostles, of the disciples, and encouraging them, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we might through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So encouragement is important. Encouragement is very, very important. You know, it's because it's a support, it's a kind of an action that you give, to give support. And that encouragement and support gives the person hope and gives them confidence. It kind of cheers them up, it gives them, it inspires them, it puts back the fire. You know, without this, because you'd find we all need encouragement at least one time along the journey of life. There's an old preacher's joke about encouragement. You know, they're talking about it. It says that at his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the founding members that looked very sad. "Don't be sad. The next preacher might be better than me." She replied, "That's what they said before you came. But it keeps getting worse." You know, so sometimes you find that we are made not be the best of pastors, but just keep us encouraged, okay? My aim is hardly to do any major doctrines, just a few words to encourage and strengthen you along to continue your journey of life. This elected predestined journey is a journey for all of us, and I don't have to tell you this journey is not always easy. We're thankful for the inspired songs by many brothers like Brother Pinkston some years ago wrote, "This journey will soon be over and time will be no more. There are hard days and difficult nights ahead. And there are weeks and months and years where the road will seem to lead from one hardship to another, one suffering to another. Rejection and loneliness is not scarce in an elect's life. I guess if we live long enough, we'll have plenty of chances to get our battle scars. Battle scars, veterans, as Brother Pinkston sang about. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, "Wherefore, brethren, I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Our prophet needed encouragement many times. And as we get older like Abraham, we need our father's encouragement. In the message, "I've heard, but now I see." He says, "Now Abraham, when he was 90 years old, I believe in Genesis 17, God appeared to him, to this old man, 99 years old, when he was nearly almost 100, that has been waiting upon the promise all these years. It appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai, the Blessed One. What an encouragement it was, yet the promise wasn't fulfilled. But Abraham, the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the Strength Giver, the Breasted One." He says, note, after reading this, "My prayer, O Father, is here we are at Eagle Faith Tabernacle at Spoken Word Ministry. We are Abraham's camp for sure. We have grown old together. We are senior citizens, group of the message. We are still, and like the Father Abraham, we are waiting for our promise, our change, our rapture. And the Lord, like Abraham, we want our testimony to be like Abraham's testimony. As we continue to grow older, we remain strong to encourage and strong in the faith, always giving praise to you regardless of the time that passes by. And Lord, as you encourage Father Abraham and your prophet, Brother Branham, may you keep us encouraged as you know how to do, as it is written in your word, you are God of all comfort." So we find that... remember that even the apostle as well goes through difficult times, the families, the ministry goes through difficult times. We need to be there for them, okay? He says, I read this once quote before, thinking about myself and the years in the ministry. He says, only God knows how to encourage us, give us encouragement, strengthen and resolve, anoint our determination to keep fighting, to endure and to finish the race before us. For I know He has no pleasure in them that turn back, because you know, the apostle had a great affliction in his body. Paul had it, even our dear Pastor Tony. As well. All these years I've been teaching this message through persecution, affliction, rejection, without the support of the fivefold. Right? He's talking about the general fivefold. This is, he has lost many friends, he was betrayed by many people, used, people befriended him purely for the material, and that is why. You notice I emphasize we don't put people on the group that don't belong to us. You don't give them material that you don't put out text messages so they can use it against us. They will use it against us. It's a pattern. My body and mind is weary, tired this last year, but my God has never left me alone. Faithful, as soon as series is over, he faithfully appears, inspires me again. What a comfort, what an encouragement. If all leave, he remained faithful despite my honorary away. That encouraged me so much to know he has never left me alone to my own devices. He's kept me from myself. I've always said, a man cannot teach so many doctrines over so many years, and it stand up for questionings and critique. It can only be God. He kept me. He inspires me. If it was not for him, I would have fallen away. I would have been a shipwreck as many along the way. That is the raw truth of my life. When I think, the message is more precious to me today than when I believed. After all my bouts with heart attacks, he's had many major attacks and he's still having issues still. Raised from the dead twice. Many operations. I'm here. I'm still amazed to all the doctors who wanted me on disability, ready to sign the papers. Because remember that Pastor Tony had 50% of his heart working at one stage. Okay. Blessed be the name of our Lord, to our God, to be glory. It encouraged me when I look back. I hope it will encourage you to know for sure that he is with us and we are not alone in this journey. Encouragement can come in and by many forms, like above the quotes, by the appearing of the Lord, by the power of the Lord, or by following. The message and scriptures gives us encouragement. Like 1 Timothy 4:13, until I get there, focus on the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Encouragement, godly people in godly words. 1 Thessalonians 4:5 says, so encourage each other and build each other up. That's what we need to do, encourage. We're so quick to criticize and condemn, send people quotes because they can't cope and because they're failing. In your eyes, they're failing. You're so quick on it. But when was the last you encouraged them to fire for the Lord? Proverbs 10:21, the words of the godly encourage many. But and also we can be of encouragement by our life and our testimony. How you handle your problems and your circumstances, whether you're moaning and complaining, you'd never know that somebody is looking at your life and is getting encouraged by that. Let us not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all more as you see the day approaching. Paul says, be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Our prophet told us there is no free ride and no one is exempt from the troubles of the world. And our Lord told us in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We must never forget what the purpose of suffering is and what tribulation is for. Don't keep saying, Lord, why don't I die? A lot of people say, oh, Lord, I don't know why I'm not dying. You're not grateful. You're not grateful for life. You're not grateful that the suffering you're going through, you're not the only one in the world who's suffering. So we need to understand that these things are there for a purpose. So I know we all at times forget and sometimes get lost in the humanistic realm. Sometimes you feel sorry for yourself, and you know, but the secret, the key is to stay as often as long in the revelation realm. So as long as you can stay under the revelation of this word and stay with this word, your discouragement will become less. Let your subconscious be saturated with the thoughts of who you are. Remind yourself, I'm the elected. I'm the son of God. No matter what has happened, it's for a reason. God is there. No matter what I suffer, don't keep wishing for bad things. Because remember that once you saturate your thoughts of who you are and what the promises is that has been given to you, your conditions, your turmoil, your tribulations become less and less. Because the enemy wants you to focus on yourself. Focus on your place, your position and authority has already been given to you. He has made you sons of God. You are sons of God. You've been sons before the foundation of the world. He has made you kings and priests. Think about his sovereignty, his election. Think about how he chose you. Despite all what everybody says about you, he opened his word to you. Okay? The prophet taught us there's three realms we can live in. The prophetic realm, which is your visions and your dreams. The revelation realm, which is your faith and realm. The humanistic realm and our senses. With these three realms come three kinds of faith: prophetic faith, revelation faith, and humanistic faith. You know that faith of God, faith in God, and perfect faith. In Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, I've said there's three realms that people dwell in. The humanistic realm, okay? We're down here and we pray for that. The next one is divine revelation. That's when something comes into your heart, when something is going to happen. And third realm is visions by the word of the Lord. In who is this Melchizedek, you read, there are three elements that follows a man: the humanistic, divine revelation, and thus saith the Lord. When we stay too long in the humanistic realm, we become discouraged. We can feel like giving up and walking away from this call. Because if you keep holding thoughts of negativity, of your health and your problems, why am I suffering? Why my marriage is going through this? Why do people hate me? Why? You walk away from your divine call. And life never becomes a joy. You're not the only one who feels like that. Many great servants feel that way. Like Brother Branham, a man running from God, like Jonah, like David, who wished we had wings like a dove and we could fly away. We'd all go through these moments. We all think of giving up. There's a moment in everyone's life, I just want to give up. But if you take your thoughts and focus on Him, put a message on, you know, you lost somebody, don't dwell on it. Don't keep looking at the photographs and keep crying. God took them away. They served a purpose. Move on with your life. Tell the Lord, I thank you for the memories I had. Now let me move on. Because if you don't understand it, you're bordering on the enemy's border. And that becomes a problem. Okay? You see, but all these men of the Bible, they overcame. And so will you by His grace. In the message leadership, God, I commit this group of people, Brother Leo, Brother Gene, and the people here in your hands. Lord, that you will bless them. And love them and forgive all the iniquity. Heal all the diseases. Keep them ever in love and fellowship. Encouraging those who have. Be wary, and sometimes Satan might come along and cause them to be discouraged. Paul, the great apostolic teacher, speaking in Thessalonica, wants to encourage the believers, wanting to strengthen and to resolve him the message. Remember, these believers were delivered by his ministry. They were delivered from Baal worship. They were delivered from paganism. And Paul says, you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. So you'd find, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Acacia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Acacia, but in every place. Your faith in God is spread abroad, so we need to speak a thing. For they themselves show us of what a manner of entering we had, you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God and wait for His Son, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath there. This apostolic group, I was under intense pressure because they sided with Paul and his teachings of the present truth gospel. This was Paul's prayer and exhortation to the elected group of the believers. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of Thessalonica and to the God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to God and always for you, brethren, as it is meet that your faith grows exceedingly and charity one towards each other abounded. For we ourselves encourage in you the church of God, your patience, your faith in all your persecution and trials and endure. Paul, the apostle, he knows it was not easy to walk. And I want to tell you, it's not easy for you to walk this way. Okay? It's not easy for you to walk this way. You're going to have problems. You're going to have circumstances. You're going to have situations. Okay? I'm going to skip because we're going to put up this letter to the believers just on the WhatsApp. And you can get an idea of exactly what our apostle is trying to get at. The important thing is that we need to be encouraged. Okay? We need to not focus on our sufferings and our afflictions and so forth. All this becomes necessary evil. And then in the necessary evil that we have, remember that we'll always have discouragement. Let's go down further down. I want to read about boundaries, okay? It says, all this here, your life is recorded in the mind of God, and it's all finished, and we are now experiencing what He had each for us on this journey. Our boundaries are set and numbered. Your enemies are chosen. Your parents are chosen. Your gender, race, nationality was chosen. Because if you live your life believing that everything in your life is a hit and miss affair, if you think that the events of each day just happen by chance, then you'll be a prisoner to your circumstance and you'll miss what God wants to accomplish to you. You'll be up when things are good and you'll be down when things are bad. Living in the revelation of realm, it becomes wonderful and exciting to rest in the knowledge that our God is working out His plan for everything that happens to us. The good and the bad, the positive and the negative, the happy and the sad. So you'd find, brothers and sisters, that as you focus on these things and as you go on, we are reminded that we need to stand firm to everything that we go through. Everything that you go through, all your difficulties, all your hardships, all your circumstances and all your problems that you go through. And as you go home, I want you to go home and read this letter. Okay, if you don't have WhatsApp, ask the brothers if they can print it out for you or email it to you. Because it says the non-elect are jumpy, they're jittery, they're worried, they're uncertain. Truly, these are perilous times when both the oneness message lodges are upset, killing the influence of our elders and scaring the weak amongst us. The two spirits so close it can deceive the non-elect amongst us. So you'd find, in likewise, we need to stand fast on the absolute of God's doctrine, the doctrine of Christ for this day. We need to hold on to the apostolic pattern and teaching, hold to the Ephesian and Thessalonian apostolic pattern. When your mind is under attack by doubting and demon power and your walk seems unsteady under your feet, remember what I taught you that I learned from Paul and Brother Branham. Learn this principle. Go back to the first principles. Hear these words again. This new year, stand fast. That's what you need to do. When things go bad, you get discouraged and you want to give up, go back. Read this letter again. Because just like Paul wrote a letter, we have an apostle writing a letter to you. Okay? As we go on this whole week, brothers, I'll go back to the letter because I need to go back to my message. Okay, so just try and put a hold to where I started and then I will go back in Greece. Just now we're going to have load shedding. So just remember, brethren, I want to start off from, paragraph 9, where it says, those things which you have learned, received and heard. Okay, we'll go there and read again. Because there's a lot of things that I want to talk about, so even if I take it a couple of days, on Tuesday and on Thursday. God bless you. Amen. All right. It's good to see Sister from Johannesburg, Brother Jimmy's mom. Good to see you and all the visitors as well. I know you're sweating it out there. So am I, with a coat on and tie on and what have you. But we come to work. Okay? I know you tell me, but why don't you just read the letter? I just love the letter. Yeah, I can do it on Tuesday and Thursday. Okay? Tuesday and Thursday I can do the letter because there's a lot of things I need to speak to you about there. It's going to take us maybe a couple of days. Okay, let's go. Let's take our scripture reading. Okay, let's stand together. Are we together? For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, and face to face, now I know in part, then shall I know even as I am known. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the letter from our dear apostle. As we go through it, Lord, this week, there's so much of nuggets and gems that we need to look at and to encourage the church. The little snippets that we have, they may enlighten and comfort our hearts to know that 2020, we need to hold fast. Despite everything that we go through, every trial, every circumstance we go through, may we guard the boundaries that we are going to go through. Lord, that you've given in our life, that we'll not move away from the boundaries and the principles that you're teaching us, sir. Bless us, we pray, Father, even as we continue now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may take your seats. We have studied, we background a little bit on the life of Brother Branham. a little bit on the life of Brother Branham. And now we want to look at, to see a little bit of his ministry. So, because remember, the ministry of Brother Branham is very complex and compound. And so you'd find, you may say, but why? Because in this ministry, you'd find that he had many anointings. And he fulfilled many types and of the and characters in the Bible. So you'd find he fulfilled Moses and Elijah. He fulfilled what you call Joshua, Eleazar, Gideon, Daniel. He was many types and shadows that he fulfilled. Paul, all these men. You'd find that if you study the gospel or the ministry, you're going to see the anointings of these men of God that are in the Bible, and so you'd find that with this ministry of complexity, and the fact that his ministry can be seen in all these different apostles, these different anointings brings about a different purpose, right? It's each anointing has its own characteristic. And you'd find that these characteristics, these specific characteristics becomes prominent or dominant in certain areas of this prophet's life. And so you'd find that when he was showing off the anointing of Elijah, right, you begin to see that he exercises judgmental. Then you find that when he shows of Moses, he begins to show the law and order. The law and the order that is taking place when he begins to speak of the women, when he begins to speak of the false churches, when he begins to speak of the false ministry, when he begins to speak of idolatry. This is where he's bringing the judgment to the false, to the woman, to the ministry. That's his job, is to go out there and to stand. And then you'd find when he's under Moses' anointing, he brings the law, how you should dress, what you should be, how the order should be. And then you'd find that he has the anointing of Joshua. Joshua's anointing comes, where Joshua's job was to positionally place. So that means he comes to teach. He comes to teach you. He comes to teach you on these things. And in teaching you these things, you'd find that he sees people that are misbehaving. And the angel of the Lord says, they are in your hand. And then you see the anointing of Christ, where he comes to bring the message of grace. The message of grace that comes up there. And so you'd find that being a man with so many different anointings, he fulfills Revelation 3:14. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. Okay? So you'd find he is the angel. He's the angel to the church. And so that we need to understand that we want to try and we looked a little bit on his background. We want to try and understand the different phases of his ministry, because it's a very complex ministry. Because most of the time you'd find that when people read the message books, they put everything together. And because they put all the messages together and they cannot see the different anointings, they cannot see that this prophet is bringing about a ministry for a particular group or a particular season. Or God, he's working with this prophet in a different phase. And so we find that when we look at this here, this series is the Starlight to Sunlight series. Because we need to know that in the message, God's gift always finds his place. He says, the wise men, they found the perfect light. May this little light tonight that you put your hand, or you maybe you didn't, it struck you, but you never even raised. May that light guide you on to that perfect light. What did these wise men see? These wise men, they were led by a star. That star was a partial light that led them to the true light. The job of the star is to take them to the perfect light. Because the star is not the light in itself. The star catches the light from the major light, which is the sun. The moon does not have a light on its own. The moon catches the reflection that comes from the sun. And so, all they are doing is that they become reflectors of the major light. And so we need to understand that the different phases and progression of this prophet needs to be understood. And in the message, Great and Shining Light, remember the star again. When it finished its course, it takes no honor. So this angel that comes in Revelation 3:14 does not speak about himself. He takes no honor for himself. His job is to get the people to that light. That's his job. His job is to get them to that light. Remember, when it finishes its course, it takes no honor. The star just brought men to their destination and showed them that perfect light. And show them that perfect light. And so we see that with this different progress and different phases of this ministry, it allows us to differentiate between the light of each age. The revelation that comes, because we are going to see that under starlight, under moonlight, and under sunlight, there are different phases. Different progress. And when you read it, you must be in a position to say, well, now I'm beginning to understand exactly what the messenger is telling us. So we know that this messenger or this star was converted around 1932-33. Because we went through that. Okay? Speaks about he was in the barnyard, he was on his train tracks, and so forth. And so we find that his ministry started in 1933. His ministry started. Okay? He had a conversion. We've been through that, how he went to the Pentecostal churches and he saw this for the first time. And so you'd find in 1933, he receives a vision. The vision was of his commission is to do the work of evangelists, and the angel of the Lord pointed him to 2 Timothy chapter 4, right? Chapter 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. So that means this is a conditional position or a conditional ministry. It's a conditional phase that he's in. So do the work of evangelism, for the time will come. When you see the time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine, understand things are going to change. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. They'll be preaching another gospel. They'll be preaching another Jesus. They'll be taking people back to denomination. They'll be taking the people back to idolatry. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch you all in things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of your ministry. So this vision called him to do the work of an evangelist. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4. So he was called to do the work of an evangelist. It's a conditional scripture. Ministry. Because when that time comes in, when you see that they are not enduring sound doctrine, things are going to change. So you'd find, you say, well, what is the condition? It's when they start turning away from the truth. Now, what truth are we talking about? Remember, the truth that we are talking about is not the truth of the seven seals or seven thunders. That's not the truth that they will turn away from. The truth that they are turning away from is when he brings a revelation of who the beast is, what the mark is, what is the Antichrist. When he begins to reveal that and they fail to listen to what he's saying, then you find God, the Lord says, come out of her, my people. It's not that they fail to listen, endure the truth of the seventh seal and seven thunders. Don't confuse that. Because the seventh seal and seven thunders is only for the elected. It's not for anybody else. So you need to understand that you may say, well, was he an evangelist? He was not a conventional evangelist. Because a conventional evangelist points you to Jesus Christ, speaks about the cross 2,000 years ago. That's all they ever do. So don't think that the Lord asked him to go and do that. No. That's a conventional evangelism. But you find the end time evangelism, right, is a ministry that has got three pulls. It is a ministry, a one-man ministry identifying Jesus Christ. So it's a different type of evangelism. And so we'd find that that when the Lord asked him to do the work of evangelists, don't confuse yourself with the people that you see that put up tents. That was not his job. His job was not to go out there and speak about Calvary. So you'd find this seventh angel, he had his own commission. This seventh angel had a different anointing, had a different purpose. He was a starlight to the age. So he was not a starlight to Branham Tabernacle, but he was a starlight to the age. The angel told him, this is not your church. Branham Tabernacle is not your church. He says, you took me up. He says, this is not your church. The whole world is who you're going to come to minister to. Okay? And so that is why you'd find that from 1946 to 1963, the doctrines was not perfect. Not all. Some of the doctrines that he was bringing was not perfect. That's where most of the time you're going to find that the lodges support their Godhead, the oneness doctrine. Because he was learning the vocabulary, how to bring it out. He was learning. He knew there was one God. He knew there was a Son. But he was learning the vocabulary, how to bring it out. So his doctrines that he brings out from 46 to 63 begins to start changing. They change as they progress. As revelation progress, he began to change. You see, but why? Because he gets corrected. These doctrines, not all of them, we will go through them, they get corrected. Okay, they get corrected on the way as they're going along. And some of the times when he does the correction, he does not bring it to your attention. It has to take the ministry, the fivefold ministry, to bring it to you. And say, listen, this is where he corrected certain things. In God's rapt gift, we follow the day star. We follow the light until it leads us to that perfect light, the gift of God, eternal life by the baptism of the Spirit. Granted, Lord, I commit them to thee now. So you'd find that this star that is coming is going to lead us. Those that are going to come out are going to find the true light. Those that do not come out, they are going to continue in their ignorance. Do I make sense? So we find that he does the work of an evangelist right until 1962, where he preaches present stage of my ministry. And you see the ministry begin to change around 1962. So from 1933, from the time he got the commission to 1962, we find that the Lord was working with him as evangelist. And you also know that when He failed to listen to the Lord in 1937 flood. When the Lord took away his wife and the Lord took away his daughter, you'd find much of the ministry was put on hold. And that is why you'd find that like you hear this, read the same thing about Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and then you pick up later that he was at the age of 12. You don't know what happened in between. Those are the silent years. The prophet also had silent years. You don't really know what happened. Okay, what happened to in between then? So, to do the work of evangelist, he had to travel. So, 7 times round the world. He has to go. Travel round the world to go and see the churches. See how they are. What they are preaching. Whilst he's preaching, he's picking up certain things. And now you find that he could come back and preach the deceived church. Speaks of Samson. Speaks of Delilah. How the Delilah anointing. The Delilah anointing is in the church. Where you'd find that Delilah found out the secret of Samson. That if Samson was able to shave off his hair. And here's the thing, sisters. The hair is a covering. The hair is the covering. And when you look at the hair, when a woman has long hair, she gives glory to her husband. So the woman here is the church. The church, her glory, her covering, rather, is the word. Her covering is the word. So when a woman cuts her hair, when a church cuts her hair, it brings dishonor to God. And so we find that, we speak of the Nazarite vow, right? Samson had a Nazarite vow. And so when Delilah found out the weakness, and she says, if I shave his hair off, if I cut his hair, I can weaken him. And so unconverted men got into churches and they took away the gospel. They took away the effect and the influence of the true word of God by taking away and adding man's ideas and creeds. It has weakened the church. And then he comes and preach a deceived church. And Samson's eyes was put off. And eyes, without the eyes, you'd find it is speaking of a prophet. The church took away the eyes that God sent in the age so that they can read and understand the Bible. They took those eyes out. And Samson wanted to go and bring judgment to his enemies. And the Bible says that Samson had to be led by a boy. So the church's eyes have been put off to the revelation that was coming. The church got weakened when the ministers began to cut their hair. And cutting of the hair means they allow women preachers behind the pulpit. The ministers are married more than once. They believe in Trinity. They have a wrong baptism. They have a wrong God. They give worship to the Son and they don't give worship to Jehovah God. All these things threw the church into darkness. And it made the church weak. He comes and he preaches the deceived church. As an evangelist, he begins to start rebuking them. That was his job. An evangelist's job is to rebuke them. This is not Revelation 10:7, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 was a vision that he must do the work of evangelists. And so you'd find the 1933 prophecy is tied to 2 Timothy chapter 4. What Paul wrote down by inspiration, this angel comes to give it to this messenger in the last days to do the work of an evangelist. Because 2 Timothy chapter 4 is prophetic. Because his job now, he's going to call the age to repentance. That's his job. not a local church, not a person, but call the age to repentance. His job is to go and rebuke the ministers. His job is to speak to the lukewarm, the backslidden, the elected, because there's always elected. Okay? There's always elected there. In the first seal we read, it says, takes the books of seals and breaks them and shows the seven angels. For this alone, the mystery of God is the ministry of the seven angel. We'll go more into this as we're going on. Right? We just come through the church ages and even history and prove. See, it's the angel's message of the seven age. All the right reveals all the mysteries that's in the past, all things in the past, Revelation 10. Right? Remember that in the days of the seven angel, he's sounding forth, blasting forth the gospel, he's finishing all the mysteries of God. So you're going to find that Revelation 3:14 and Revelation 10:7 is the same one and the same person, but they are moving, they are working in a particular way, right? They're working in a particular way. So you'd find that this prophet had a ministry of, which is a starlight ministry. A starlight ministry, he has the moonlight ministry, he had a sunlight ministry. And so you'd find that that we need to divide the time and the purpose. If we don't do that, right, you find that you're going to lump all together and you're not going to really understand. You're not really going to understand. And so you'd find that in the church of Laodicea, God is gave a chance to repent, a space of time to repent, right? And so, when you look at the time of Paul, remember when Paul was on the scene, right? He was the messenger. And then, Brother Branham comes along. If you look at the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us there were seven candlesticks. That means it was nighttime. So the seven angels was actually in darkness. They never had any light. The only light they had was by candlelight. And so it is actually, it's not real light. It was light that was given for that season. So the seven angels, you had what we call a starlight that was guiding them. There was a star, there was an angel to the church, right? And we did this many years ago about God's protocol. And we find that this star was anointed by an eye. And that eye is an angel that came from the throne of God. That eye comes to anoint the star. And this star has to bring a message. So there are seven eyes and there are seven stars. The seven eyes are the seven spirits that come to anoint a star for each age. But they come to represent. So they fulfill the law of representation. They come to represent the Son of God. They come to represent the Son of God. That is why John saw a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns, seven ages, seven kingdoms, right? Seven governors. You can take that and you can tie it to Isaiah 9, is that, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The shoulder is actually the governors. These governors are the seven stars. These seven stars are bringing to each age God's instructions. But in this age, you do not only have a star. There are more anointings that comes in this age. It gets complicating. That is why the ministry has to break it out for you. So that you can go home. And when you listen to a recording, it becomes more meaningful for you. Because a lot of ministries ran into confusion and unbelief. If they never understood it. So, this starlight, right, this starlight ministry that these messengers had, Luther could only preach the just shall live by faith, and that is all that Luther could ever preach. That is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 and 9 says, we know in part. We know in part. So everything that Luther knows, everything Wesley knows, everything that the last messenger knows is a part gospel. They only know a portion. A portion of the gospel was made known to them. You see, but why? It's like a baby. Right? Paul speaks about it. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood things as a child. I thought as a child. So the seven ages was the children. They were not in a mature state. You see, but what you mean? They were not in a position to understand the seals. They were not in a position to understand the thunders. It's like giving steak to a baby that was just born. You know? Give a baby that's just born. The baby can't digest, it can't process. The body itself is not ready for it. You know? Body itself is not ready for it. But I understood things as a child. So Paul, everything Paul wrote, he understood as a child. Everything that Luther wrote, he understood as a child. Spiritually thinking. That means his spiritual mind has not been awakened. And so Paul writes there, he says it, but he says, we look, now we see through a glass darkly. He says, we can't really see things so clearly. We're not too certain about it. Excuse me. You see the same thing with Brother Branham. He's not sure. One of the tapes I was listening the other day, he was saying, I was thinking when I die, I'll be like a cloud floating in the air. He did not know what kind of a body he will go into. He says, the only time I understood it when I was lying on my bed and I looked, I was out of my body and I see myself there. I see Mira staying next to me, lying next to me. He says, then I understood what body we will be in. But all these years he never had, because God was showing him in part. He never had the full understanding. We see through a glass darkly. So he says in verse 11, he said, but when I became a man. So when does the church become a man? In this age. Seventh seal is for the man, child. Seventh seal is not for the children. We are not here to pamper you. Brother, you got to come to church. Brother, why are you staying away? Because that happens in the church where the people are children. You get angry. You want to stay at home. You pull your face. I'm not going to go back to the church. You're still a child. You get upset about the parking. You're still a child. You haven't matured. You haven't grown. You get angry when a minister preaches or something. You haven't grown. But when you realize, hey, I'm a man, I'm here so that I can grow in the doctrine. I'm not here for feelings. I'm not here for anything else, because I understand that you can't have a conversation with a child as you can have with a man. You can't. A child, you know, how are you? Fine. You know, are you keeping okay? Okay, I'll buy you a McDonald's. Oh, I'm happy. Child is happy about it. But a man, it's like a woman, you know, and a husband and wife, when things go wrong in the marriage, and you know, if you're thinking, well, you know, I made her angry, I just buy her a new dress. You didn't fix the problem. Or I'll buy him a gift, he'll forget about the problem. No, you didn't figure, you didn't. See, you can do that with a child, but you can't do it with adults. With adults, you're going to sit down and have a conversation. So God could not have a conversation with children, because they were like the church of Corinth. They were caught up with adultery, caught up with fornication, living unclean lives, not paying the tithing, not regularly in church, not studying the word. So Paul had to keep reminding them. And Paul says, but now we're grown. Now, I want you to understand that in the days of Paul was still dealing with children of the faith. Okay? John even speaks about the children. My little children. My little children. Where was the little children? Under starlight. See, if you say, brother, I'm Ephesian. It's time you behave like Ephesians. If you say you're Ephesians, then you should be diligent. You should be studying. You should be praying. You should be taking notes. You should be going home, listening to the recording. Because that's what a man does. That's what adults do. You don't have to be prodded and told, brother, come to church. Brother, you know, are you studying the word? No. Because you come to understanding. So under starlight, you'd find that there were lots of mistakes. So it was an age of ignorance. The book of Acts says that God winked at the ignorance of the people. Brother Barron says that as well. So it was an age of intercession. This was the age of intercession. Don't run off and say, are you telling me there's no more intercession? Age of intercession now is only for the bride. It was the age of priesthood. It was the age of priesthood. So that means you're going to find that even though they were in the denominations, he'll send them back. Go back to your pastor. Support them. Even if it was a Trinitarian, go back. Because it was the age of ignorance. And so you'd find that the church ages was the Son of God dispensation. The Son of God dispensation. So when you're looking at Paul's days, Martin, Irenaeus, Luther, it's the Son of God dispensation. Are we together? Amen. All right. So you'll find that under this age, as a starlight, he addresses them as a church. Says, listen, church. But under moonlight, he calls you bride. Under sunlight, you become sons of God. Different anointings brings you different revelations. Are we having load shedding? We're having load shedding. Give that load shedding a clout, man. Hey. We're trying to work something, so please, I've got time, I won't talk to you about it now, okay? So he calls it universal church to repentance, right? In Revelation 3:19, he calls them to repent, right? Why he wants them to be under one head. He wants to unite them under one head, which is the word. That was his job. Call them to repentance. They need to come back under one head. And so in doing that, he does the work of evangelists. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so you'd find these churches now, they reject Revelation 3:14. They reject the warning of Revelation 3:14. And Revelation 14 and 9. Because when you read Revelation 14 and 9, you'd find that he says the third angel said with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and receive the mark. So he comes to reveal the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, right? He says you will drink of the wrath of God the Lord. So this angel reminds him of Revelation 14 and 9. And so what happens is that the age refuses to take warning. Refuse to listen to the preaching of Revelation 3:14. They says, no. That's why you heard those testimonies of Baxter and all these men. They said, no, you know what? You should stay in divine healing. You shouldn't go into teaching. It's because of that. They rejected, and so if they rejected it, they became souls in prison. They became souls in prison because now they have been led by a man. They don't want to listen to what a messenger that is coming to bring the light for the age. They don't want to listen. He says, listen, if any man worship the beast or the image of the beast, he shall receive a mark. No, no. We're not interested. So what happens? They become a class that falls under the god of this evil age. They fall under the god of this evil age. Because they like what they're doing, so they're not part of God, they become part of Satan's Eden. They become part of Satan's Eden. You say, well, why would they do that? It's because they're not listening to what the evangelist that is saying there. They are now leaning on their own understanding. They're leaning on their own understanding. They are not taking what the messenger of 340 is saying. Listen, don't worship the beast. Don't worship the image of the beast because you're going to take on the wrath of the Lord. They're not listening because they're leaning on their own understanding. They're listening to theologians. So, but why? Why would they do that? It's because they are a deceived church. They are a deceived church. They don't know. They don't know that the man behind the pulpit is not even converted. And because he's not converted, you find that they want to go ahead and listen to him. So this starlight messenger, or this starlight ministry, continues until Revelation 11 and 5 onwards, 15 rather. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this Lord are becoming the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and shall reign forever. So when they reject him, right, they will continue in their error. They will continue in their error. And as they continue in their error, that anointing of them being a deceived church will continue right until the end when the judgments are taking place. The Armageddon and so forth. Are we together? In the seals book we read, this angel has no certain mystery. Gathers all that's been lost in the other ages, all the truth that wasn't revealed as the revelation comes. Then he reveals these things. If you want to read it, Revelation 10. So you're going to see that this anointings are intertwined. 3:14 and 10:7 are intertwined in his life. Where you find that he's going to reveal certain things, like the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, is to call the people out, but they don't want to listen. You see, but why would they not? Because they are a deceived church. They are a deceived church. Okay, I'm going to close up here because I know the brothers have to get ready for getting this equipment shut down because of the power that's going to be put off just now. I pray the Lord bless you. We have the series I started will take us a couple of weeks. Okay, we'll build this up on Tuesday and Thursday. God willing, I'll read another portion of the apostle's letter. We'll move on. Whilst we simultaneously do our subject. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are grateful for these moments we have, despite the weather, Lord, and the heat amongst us. You've been so kind to us, because there are many people out there that are worshipping you under trees, in hot classrooms where there's no air cons, conditions are bad, but you've been so kind to us, Lord, and we are grateful for that. As we have a glimpse of this prophet's ministry, Lord, we ask of you that you just create the desire in us, that, Lord, that we'll continuously look to you and understand, oh, Father, everything has a purpose and has a reason. Be gracious to bless us, Father, even as we continue Lord, thank you for the brethren and the believers as well as we wind our way to different appointments and responsibilities. Let us, Lord, remember the good things that you've done for us, that you've called us out of a system, out of the mark of the image of the beast. You place our feet on higher ground. We are no longer church, Lord, but we are sons of God. Bless us, we pray, Father, as we continue, we give you glory. Ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. If Brother Norman, if you can just release this portion of the message or my notes, it'll be fine. So that we don't have some confusion. Or alternatively, maybe just release just the audio and wait till Thursday, and then you can release the balance out. Okay, the Lord bless you, brothers and sisters. And Brother